I'm Jonathan Watts. I'm the vice chair of the governance board, and I was also part of the senior pastor search team, which feels like that team was formed a million years ago at this point. The senior pastor search team was called in May of 2015, which is quite a long time ago at this point. The last time we got together like this and I got to pepper Peter with questions was on candidating weekend, and that was September of 2017. And it was during that weekend that we discovered that Peter is not Swedish.
That's right.
And so I thought this morning, in light of that, we can go over some of the answers Peter gave during that weekend. And given that we're in sort of primary season and election year, that we could see if he's kept his campaign promises from from that candidating weekend.
That's right.
So the real purpose of this morning is to provide both Peter and Kathy an opportunity to really share deeply from their heart with the perspective of having been here for over 2 years now and being more seasoned to really just share some of the things that God is speaking to them. The timing seems kind of perfect as we just wrapped up the Greater Things series. We started that series by looking at how God is a pursuing God, how he loves us deeply in that way, that he pursues us even when we're not pursuing him. And we kind of wrapped up last week by focusing on and daring to consider what God-sized dreams we could dare to dream as we realize and move out of our comfort zone and understand our calling into his new family defined by faith. So as we're about to enter into the Lenten season and prepare to celebrate together Jesus' life and resurrection, we thought we'd pause this morning and just have a conversation, talk about where Trinity's been and where we're going. So would you pray with me as we get started? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a pursuing God, that despite our unfaithfulness, you are faithful, and that you never let up. You pursue us, that you have a ingrained purpose in each one of us that we are here to fulfill. Lord, help us to respond to your calling and your pursuit as we seek to pursue you and pursue people here at Trinity and within our community. Bless our time together, we pray. In your name, amen. So maybe we can get started just by, now that you've been here for a little over 2 years and we've had the opportunity to get to know you, maybe you guys could share a little bit about maybe some things that we might not know about you or things that you would like to share about each other. Not throw each other under the bus, but some things that you'd like to share.
Sure. How about I punt that off to Kathy to get us started?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity for us to create this space to invite you into our living room. And I would love to share our similarities and differences. While we have both have the entrepreneur spirit and we love to create something new, we love to travel, we love good food, but at the same time, we are wired very differently. Peter is a true extrovert. I'm an introvert, although a lot of people think otherwise, but he is a quiet extrovert, so you watch out. Let's see, he is a fun-loving enthusiast on the Enneagram, and I'm the achiever. And he takes forever to make decision because he has to research everything extensively to find out that decision he's making is the right one. But I make quick decisions. So when we met, I knew right away that Peter is one I could live with him and be happy, and it took him forever. I had to literally give him ultimatum, Peter, if you don't make decision, I have slew of other people. Let's not play around. So he came around, and let's see, he is event-oriented, which means he values people and relationship, I'm very much time-oriented. I think about how to spend time wisely and investing. Very much more of a Western culture. I was born and raised in Korea, so a lot of my childhood and formative years were in Korea. Well, Peter was born and raised here, so we have that different culture going on, even though we look similar. What else, honey? I think that's pretty much. Oh, and he snores, but I but I can sleep through anything, so I think we are match made in heaven. Do you agree? Yeah.
Well, what should I add to that? So I think even in our marriage, as for those of you that are married, you know, it is always challenging. It's beautiful at the same time. I think, though ethnically we are both Korean, I think what Kathy mentioned is really true. I think myself, having been born in New York and raised in Chicago, and then Kathy having her formative years in Korea and then coming in her teen years, even culturally, that is very, very different. And often, you know, oh, wow, they're Asian, they're Korean, you know, but even that is different. Often, especially after I got Spotify, able to kind of travel down memory lane, especially songs from the late 70s, early 80s, and I just get so excited. I relive my high school days, and Kathy listens to that, and I go, that's the dumbest music I've ever heard, you know? So I'm trying to pass on my passion for those songs to my children, and they also hear, they say, Daddy, that's terrible music from the 80s. You know, I get excited about the John Hughes films, and Kathy sees that, and she says, what is that? So there are differences, definitely, even generation-wise, and our immigrant stories, and that I'm a child of immigrants, and I was born here, Kathy came. So those are some differences. I got a very, very early start in ministry, right out of college, went straight to seminary, so this will actually be my 29th year of ministry. So, you know, have a few experiences that is helpful as we're trying to move to Trinity, with Trinity. So anyways, those are a few things, Jonathan.
Great. The easy questions are done now. Now it's getting real. So thinking back over these past couple of years, what have been some of the highlights for each of you and maybe some of the challenges that you've experienced?
Am I starting first too?
Okay, go for it.
Thank you. That's a proper way to do it. I'm just kidding. So the highlights, I have to say, is really getting to know all of you better and really having the sense of that we are part of this family, Trinity family that has been around for many, many years, and how you have just with open arms have received us as who we are has been tremendous. I really feel that God has prepared your hearts even before we came. Because the way we have been received and been accepted into the family, I think that's a supernatural power. And what that does is it creates a space for us to be able to just spread our wings and just do what we are created to do and just minister out of who we are, not worry about what other people are going to think of us. And this is how God created us. This is our passion. This is our heart. You are giving us that space and opportunity for us to minister out of who we are, and that's a gift. So I want to thank you, all of you, so much for that. The challenge has to be just being away from the family. I mean, obviously, you guys understand that. We had my parents and his parents, our siblings, were so close proximity to us, and they were very hands-on supporting us, and they sort of spoiled us in many ways. And now we are removed from it. We realize how precious that is, and I took it for granted, to be honest. But now there is a sense of appreciation. When we go back home, we just love on them because it's so much more sweeter because of it. And also, God has really helped us has been providing in a way that we have learned to be creative and just be flexible and skill set to develop and just be able to balance work and life and ministry in our own way. So I think that's a win-win.
Oh, gosh, there are so many highlights and things reflecting back even in the 2 years. It's been a very, very full 2 years. I think our arrival here, driving through a snowstorm, our minivan packed, Getting here the midnight hour, staying with the Smiths, I remember, and the Christmas musical with Steve Nielsen's final year doing it. I think there was like 5 performances, standing before thousands of people in total, and having to share and introduce myself and give a gospel challenge. I'll never forget that. That was truly trial by fire, and to have passed through that, Steve Nielsen's final musical, Christmas musical, and meeting so many people from the community, that was just craziness, but so sweet and so wonderful. The installation service was very special to have so many of the Trinity family here, and then having our family and friends flying from Chicago, and to celebrate that, to be installed, we really felt the weight, the love, the support as we began our ministry. And I remember at the end when everyone raised their hand and started to sing the benediction song, the Lord bless you and keep you. And that was something we'll never, ever forget. So there have been so many other things. I think the sitting in Chick-fil-A and getting the vision for Trinity as I'm eating my chicken burger and being able to share that with the church and to see the church really embrace that. That was just confirming that God indeed called us here, and the church was looking for someone that could provide a vision, a God-sized vision to move forward, and that was just kind of, yeah, confirmation, reaffirmation that God indeed called us here. So there are so many things that God is doing and has done that are highlights.
So as I was reflecting on your call, I still have the video of you signing the letter of call. And thinking about you, Kathy, as Peter was being called officially by the church, that had a huge impact on you and on your entire family. And how have you seen God's call for you unfold as you stepped out in faith? And how has God continued to stretch you through this process?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm so grateful for the way that God has been working in my life as well. And when God called Peter, obviously it wasn't just him calling, right? It was God was calling the entire household. That includes me and also my children. And even little James has a purpose here in at Trinity in the East Coast. So with that calling, there was, I have to say, I have learned to be courageous and bold in the way God has called me. And not be afraid of what other people will think of you, or I'm not here to please anyone, but to please God, and to aligning yourself, who you are, with God, the way he created you. There's a sense of freedom. There's a sense of fearlessness that you are doing what God has called you to do. And I want to take this opportunity to let you guys know there was a sense of belief, knowing that God has purpose and he's moving us into a different season of ministry, right? Clearly, that's why we followed here. And after being here for 2 years, there is a sense of knowing, core of in my heart, that God truly has a purpose and there is reason why we are out here. So that really ground us deeply, and that we are committed, that we are going above and beyond. We are giving our best to live out the passion that God has given us. Does it make sense? So in the same way, I would love to challenge all of you, to invite you to have the same belief and confidence in us, that God is moving us and taking us somewhere, right? A place of unknown we have never been before, with the vision of pursuing God and pursuing his passion for people. That rest assured that we are here however long God has put us here, right? We are committed. We are rooted. We love it. You don't have to ask me, are you happy? Are you going to be here long term? No, we are going to be here. This is God's call. We are in his will. This is a season of ministry, and we are committed. In the same way, I invite you to be committed and have a belief in us that we are going somewhere, that God has a great vision for us. Then together, we are going to run, right? Not walk, run. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you both see as the biggest difference moving from a church plant to a more established church and from a multi-ethnic church to a predominantly white church?
Wow, each of those could take an hour each.
You don't have an hour.
Okay. And when you start something from scratch, you're the founder, you're the leader, quote unquote, you're the king, right? In that you're creating everything from the beginning, your hand and your stamp is upon everything. You're creating structures, you're gathering people, you're basically putting something together that didn't exist before. So I think that was a huge change. Coming to a church that's been around for almost 130 years, the rich history and tradition and a community that some people have been here 40, 50 years. And to know that no matter how long our family is here for, that probably for the foreseeable future, the church will continue to exist. So in that sense, things are up and running and have been for over a century. So I think that's really huge in that you work with existing leaders, existing structures. You honor the past. You recognize those that God has brought over the years, including many of my predecessors, the other pastors and leaders. So that has been, I think, a huge difference. In many ways, it's something that we longed for, because when you're starting something new, it's such a precarious situation and calling. You're always on the edge of your seat. If a few families aren't happy, they end up leaving. It could be the end of your church. And so that is extremely stressful. Here, if I have a bad sermon or someone is upset about something, church is probably still going to be around for the next couple of years afterwards. So that stability, the structures that are in place, I think that has been, I think, a huge difference. I think Kathy shared something from First Service regarding kind of the multi-ethnic, multicultural versus kind.
So when we planted church in the past, two churches, we were very intentional from the beginning that we had a vision to have a multi-ethnic church. So we knew naturally we attract people that are like you, right? Other Asian Americans. But at the same time, we had to be so intentional in our DNA, that in our leadership, that we are very intentional about reaching non-Asians, Caucasians, Black, Hispanics. So because of the intentionality, it happened. And we were able to do so because it was from the DNA, the core of who we are from the get-go. And because we tried so hard to attract non-Asians, Caucasians predominantly, coming here, I thought, oh my gosh, I don't have to work so hard. It's all Caucasian now. But then there was a shift in mindset, realizing that, no, now you have to bring an awareness. You need to attract other minorities that are like you, the people of color. And I had the immigrant story coming to America without knowing the language, having to learn that. And that experience, I realized, is a gift. The gift to be able to have a different culture, to have the sensitivity, to be aware of other culture, and to want to create that environment that is welcoming. Anyone can come and feel welcome, right? So there is that experience that we are bringing in, being in a church plant context and having that multi-ethnic church background and what we are envisioning here at Trinity. And it's still to be seen, but we are excited about that.
So as you think about Trinity's future, what excites you the most, and what concerns do you have as we move forward as a church?
Is that the question that you were going to skip?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay. What excites me the most regarding the future? I think it's wonderful that the church has that history and tradition. We have facilities. We're not in a rental situation. There is strength in the roots that have been laid down in this church family and in the greater Manchester community, which I believe is huge, because we have a foundation. We're not going anywhere. We've been here for over a century. That, I think, is one of the great gifts that we offer the greater community. At the same time, I think that's also one of our challenges. When we think about the calling God has given to us to reach out to the nations of the world, not just in missions overseas, but even here in our own backyard. When you think about those of you that have been involved in mentoring and tutoring the children at Keeney Street School, just maybe 300 steps from the front door of our church, it looks like the United Nations. And yet, our church does not even remotely reflect what Manchester has become. So there's a disconnect. And I think that is one of our challenges, in that we have a rich history, we have stability, we have roots, we aren't that small in terms of we're like 80 to 100 people, but we're not like 800 to 1,000 member church. So we're kind of in this awkward in-between size that makes us comfortable enough and big enough that we can put on different programs and activities and ministry. But that is also, I think, our weakness as well, in that we can be very comfortable and keep on coasting. So those are, I think, some of the opportunities we have and things I'm very excited about. How do you leverage what God has done for 100 plus years here at Trinity, and then not just use that for ourselves and our comfort and our likes, but use that to really look at the harvest field beyond the four walls of this church? And because we have that stability, the roots and the history, there's tremendous things that we can be used by God to do in this greater Hartford area. God has sustained this church. We've been through a season of decline for the past 10 years or so, but I think we have seen that kind of come to a halt, and we're revisioning and getting stronger again, and that excites me. And just that Trinity took a risk in bringing a couple and a family like ourselves to come and not just be on staff, but to be the lead pastor and lead pastor's wife speaks volumes about this church, the search team, your leadership when we first met. And so we do have tremendous opportunities. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of challenges. And that comfortableness, and when you're friends for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, when you've raised your children together, it's a beautiful thing that I think people in the community are longing for. At the same time, it's very easy that your whole world is just Trinity people. And that, I think, is a danger. We want to hear God's voice and dream big dreams to move forward to really reach people that desperately need the love of God.
So given where we are, where we're at as a church right now, what role will church planting play in our future vision?
I want to talk about idea of flexibility. This is something that I had to learn from early on by virtue of moving to a country that is different from what I was used to, culture and language. I learned to be flexible. I learned to adapt out of just necessity to survive. And marrying to a church planter, having to plant two churches where we didn't have an infrastructure, we were just very new, off to the ground. And there was the element of just being flexible, go with the flow, change up things if we need to. And because we were just so desired to grow, we just couldn't rely on the things that are already set. We had to just change things up as we go. In doing so, what I have learned is you are allowing the space for God to just come and move in and out. The Spirit is like a wind coming in and out. And you are being sensitive to the needs of others and accommodating. And that's something that I've learned, and that's how we survive also, is being flexible. Be willing to be interrupted just so that you can accommodate, and willing to do things that is different than what you have done before. I say this with being very, very careful, because I want to be honest and authentic in sharing what I do, because we both want to create this space that is just vulnerable. This is not about a show. This is not about putting up something just out of to please you, right? We want to share what's in our hearts. So that being flexible, just because you have done things in same way for many, many years, it doesn't mean that we cannot change the way we do things. What if God says, now you do it this way? Is it uncomfortable? It is uncomfortable. Is it necessary? I think so at times. How about we bend a little bit? How about we do things differently just so that we can allow God to just maneuver and be in the moment where Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something different, right? So I'm just speaking from my heart, and that idea of being flexible and going with the flow and be willing to be interrupted and disrupted is something that I like to share moving forward, because we are moving forward with the gospel movement. The movement is fluid. It's not set in our own rigid schedule. Being flexible to just flow however the Holy Spirit is leading, God is leading, so that we can experience him and have that dependency.
I think Kathy's sharing that because that's really the heart of when you start something new, because you're creating it, you have to go with the flow. To go back to your question about what role do I envision church planting to have, we can't just dream about it and talk about it. We have to start planning for it. And, you know, in a new church work, you have that sense of desperation and urgency. Any person that walks through the doors of your meeting space, you're just literally jumping up and down. If they come and if the mom is with child, you count them as two people. You're just so excited because, you know, people are coming through your doors. I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that really reflects the heart of God, that every person counts and matters and you're celebrating. And I think the older a church is, we often lose that sense of desperation and passion for every individual. And that's why we have to think about what does it mean, not just, yes, we're going to work hard to get healthier, stronger, become more diverse, grow here at Trinity. But as we do that, we take a humble stance and say, there are a lot of people that wouldn't be comfortable here. There are people that don't live in the immediate neighborhood, that wouldn't drive 20, 30 minutes. Some of you do that, but not everyone would do that. And what does it look like then to not just have what we call an old school attractional model of, you know, come within the doors and four walls of Trinity, but what does it look like to be in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit, where do you want us to move forward with the stability and strength that we have? Identify some key cultures, demographics, people that we aren't currently reaching, and to bring the gospel to them into their neighborhoods and communities. That's what we call church planting. So it's a way to reach out to people that typically wouldn't enter into the front doors of your church. You bring church to them. I think it's essential that we begin to talk about it, dream about it, and plan for it. And in doing so, it brings back that spirit of desperation and prayer. It brings back a sense of we can't just be satisfied with our same friends that we've been friends with here for 10, 20, 30 years. There are so many people that are out there that are hurting and lost, and they wouldn't necessarily come here. What does it look like to bring the gospel to them? And ultimately, that is in the birthing of new strategic congregations. As we do that, you will find that more people will be drawn here because we're doing something with the kingdom-sized vision that involves risk, working hard, sacrificing, walking by faith, That is the kind of church that attracts more people, not just the same old, same old. And so it's something that we need to think about. Every church has a lifespan, and eventually will close their doors. No church lasts forever except the Church of Jesus Christ, believers. I know that with Phil Beatty, Hartford City Church was planted out, but I think that was a little bit more of an anomaly in that that was really Phil Beatty, our former youth pastor, that was more of his personal vision. We got behind it, blessed it with people and resources, finances, and kind of left them on their own. And I think as we think about church planning, it's going to look a lot different. It really will be kind of the language I think Brian used before, this idea when we sent Katie and Jacob to Papua New Guinea, almost like outposts where we'll continue to be in relationship strongly with other congregations that we envision starting. So I could go on for a long time about church planning, but those are some initial thoughts.
Super. What's your vision for the direction of worship at Trinity and how that connects to the larger vision?
Oh, that's not an easy question, is it? Mm-hmm. Honey, do you have some thoughts or should I take it?
I think you should take it.
I should take it? Boy. We cannot underestimate how important worship is. It really is, with prayer, our superpower. You could have a rock star preacher, and I'm not saying that's me, but you could have one person with incredible gifts, preaching away and all that, but unless the worship reflects that kind of dynamism, one individual as gifted and anointed as they are cannot solely alone turn a church around or bring a kind of kingdom impact. It's got to be the entire congregation, and worship does that. So it is critically important. I'm a former Presbyterian pastor from a conservative, for those of you that are familiar with the term reformed, theology and values and all that. That's who I was for many years before I came into the Covenant family. So because of that, I love the sacred traditions. I love hymns. I love me a good choir. At the same time, a lot of my formative years was shaped in my youth, college, and young adult years in almost charismatic traditions as well. Strong, vibrant, anointed, powerful, emotional type of worship as well. So I am not about it's got to be one thing or the other. I would love to see Trinity be able to take the best of different worship traditions and use it for the glory of God. I think it's not about contemporary or traditional. I think that's a dichotomy that doesn't have to be there. I think, even as I think about my children or our daughter Ella, who is falling in love with playing classical piano and the cello, young people love classical traditions and sacred music as well. I think there's this wrong idea that young people just want a rocking worship with rock music, and no, I don't think so. I think if we can capitalize on the beauty of each tradition and do it in a way that fits Trinity, I think people will be released into their gifts, their passions, and I think we'll reach more people. So I would love to see that become the future trajectory of our worship. And that may kind of go alongside of what we're going to be voting on in a few minutes at the annual meeting in terms of stretching ourselves by faith and giving an opportunity for our people to really step up in their generosity and sacrificial giving financially, to think about seeing the value of this and not waiting another 3 to 5 years, but see the urgency of this now. We have a tremendous children and families pastor. Austin is a rock star in his own right, doing great things with the youth. I think Kathy and I are okay as well, and God has brought us here. But thank you, Brother Tim. But We need someone to join our dream team, to complete the team, so we can run together. Jamie has done an incredible job coming after Steve Nielsen, no doubt, and our hats off to Jamie. But she has a full-time career and job, and we are surviving Sunday to Sunday. I mean, even this setup here, I had to literally carry these pieces of furniture and bring it up on stage before I went home from work on Friday here at church. We need someone that can be free to dream and live worship 24/7. And so we can have a great vision. We could have a great youth pastor, children's pastor, myself. But unless we have someone that can complete our pastoral team, we're trying to do this vision with one arm tied behind our back. And we cannot wait another 2 or 3 years. And so I think it's critically important that we really dream big and take a step of faith. Worship is a critical piece of our new vision that God has given.
So as we wrap up today, are there any final things that God's placed on your heart that you'd like to share with the church this morning?
Well, I just want to truly thank you from the bottom of my heart for this opportunity. But what really excites me is to see Peter allowed to dream God-sized dream. He is wired that way. He's a visionary. And I see sparks in his eyes, and that excites me. And my role is to be the biggest cheerleader as he just go for it. And I say, honey, just go for it. Whatever ideas God puts in, go for it. We can execute it. And what I do also realize, it's not something that he can do alone. Vision alone can only go so far, right? We have to roll up our sleeves and ready to jump in and just go with him. And so it's my commitment to pray for him, to cheer him on, to love on him, and I invite you to do the same. It's been a joy and privilege to serve in this way. What a privilege it is. I love it because this is where I get to exercise my gifts. I get to be who I am. I get to align myself with God, who God has created me to do. We have a lot of work to do because we have this huge dream, right, that we're going after. But we're excited. I hope you get excited too.
I think there's no doubt that God is up to something pretty incredible here at Trinity. He would not have allowed our church to have lasted for almost 130 years and for us to not be 30 or 40 people, but to still be vibrant and strong. And I see so many of you with your gifts and passions going all out for God's glory and his kingdom. It is truly amazing. And I don't want anyone to ever frame that Trinity is as struggling, dying, backwards church. We have amazing things happening. Our leaders and our people could stand head-to-head, toe-to-toe with leaders from any other church in the country. I really believe that. And so I want you guys to keep that in mind. I think two things in terms of your last question, I guess we'll get ready to wrap up. First thing is our first year, which was crazy awesome, crazy busy. We could not keep up with the invites that you all extended to us, to your homes, the dinners, the opportunities to have coffee together. I don't know how we survived it. It was intense. It was wonderful. But definitely after the first year, we kind of started to see that taper off because we kind of got into that church as usual mode. And I just want to put it out there that I think it's important, not necessarily at that same pace, but to continually pursue our family and us as a married couple. Certainly we can't keep up that pace that was crazy for us that first year. But we still want to get to know many of you. And life is really busy. Kathy has a full-time corporate job. We're raising 3 young children. Trinity keeps us busy. Many, many nights during the week, we're at meetings, meeting so many of you. But we want to put that out there, that there are many of you that we've not had an opportunity to have a dinner with or be in your homes or you in our home, and we desire that. I think in the midst of trying to do big things and move the church forward, we never want to lose the importance of being your shepherd and your pastor and getting to know you. And so I want to put that out there, and we didn't have time to share this during first service, so I'll share that next week. But we still want to be pursued by you all, and we want to continue to pursue many of you. Along with that, finally, is the importance of your names. I invite you to put yourself in our shoes, where you move into a new community of hundreds of people, older people, adults, children, not knowing anyone when we moved here and trying to get everyone's names down. It is extremely challenging. For those that aren't very good with names, you know how hard that could be. And it's very important for me to try to, as best as I can, get your names. And so please, when we don't know your name or we get it wrong, God forbid, please don't take it personally or get upset or make a frown, because if you do that, I get very nervous and just try to fake it, like, oh, how's it going? Or, yeah, you know. Remind us of your name again until we get it down. If you take us out for coffee or dinner, we'll probably remember it a little more just because we've had that informal time, and something about breaking bread together is very powerful and meaningful. But it's very important for me as the pastor to get it. And we've made, I think, leaps and strides, I think, since we've come here, but we still have a long ways to go. So I apologize if we haven't gotten down everyone's names yet. But if I hesitate or I'm not sure, just shout out your name. And keep on doing that until we get it, because it is very important for Kathy and I to know our sheep by name. And obviously, as we continue to grow, it will be more and more challenging, and there will be a point where I think that will be very, very difficult to do. But while we can still do it, it's very important to us. So please don't be hurt if we don't know your name or we get it wrong. Remind us of it, and don't take it personally, so that we can get that down. Because it's just very important, and that's one thing I really wanted to share, and I forgot to share that to first service. But keep on reminding us of it so that we can get it down. To me, it's something very personal and very important. It shows that we love you and value you, and we want us to work at it. So some people are very good at names. I know, was it Alan Hurl that could see someone and know their name instantly, or is it Pastor Swenson? I'm not sure. I'm not that quite gifted in that name memorization gift yet. And so we still want to get it down. So please don't take it personally. Remind us of it, and we'll definitely get it as time goes on. So those are two little things. Keep pursuing us. Let's get together and remind us of your names. Don't take it personally, because we love you and we want to get to know you and your children and your grandchildren. But it's a lot of names, so just keep that in mind as we continue to try to move forward.
Thanks. I want to thank both of you for sharing personally from your hearts what God's put on your heart this morning, and for responding and being obedient to his call in your life. Let's pray together.